We're learning Tois Vesyoimi in the Maseches Kiddushin on page 80, Daf Pei Amud Peis. First Tois Ves, topic is Yichud, is being separated, men and women. The fewer is the more stringent, so this is like forbidden. So basically a man and a woman should not be secluded in seclusion, which we call in Yichud. And this is the topic of our Mishnah. And there is an additional Mishnah which Tois Ves brings from Maseches Avodah Zarah, which deals with relations with non-Jews who have different standards of ethics. So we are more kind of suspecting them by not being decent, not acting in a decent manner when being secluded, men and women. So our Mishnah says, "Lo yisiach edodam im shtei noshim, aval isho achas misiach edes im shnei anoshim." Okay, so there's an asymmetry here. One man cannot be secluded with two women, but the opposite can be. One woman can be secluded with two men. Explanation: the Gemara says women are more familiar with each other, so they are like they don't care if the other one does something which is not permitted. Other one, they will not feel ashamed in the eyes of the other one. Men are maybe they are like more. This is already my addition. They are more competitive, so they don't want to see the other guy. To see them doing something which is not permitted. So regarding women, they are more like together, feeling together. They are feeling being private. Even two women, it's not public place. Okay, maybe this is a nice way to say this. That when two women are together, this is already considered to be public. When two men are together, no, opposite. It's more considered to be private, because the women are nice with each other, not so nice the men with each other. Men are considered, two men is already public. Okay, anyway, Rabbi Shimon Aymer, Af Ish Echad Misiach Edim Shtei Noshim. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold like this asymmetric relation. He says, even, both ways it's permitted. Which is forbidden is only the single version, one man, one woman. This is forbidden for sure. But Rabbi Shimon says, if you have one and two, it's either way permitted. If you have two men, it's permitted for sure. It's permitted even according to Tanakhama. But Rabbi Shimon says, okay, it's even if it's two women, it's good. Why? Bizman sheishtayimoy. Because there is her wife over there. Okay, some background. This is like of something like middle solution, because now his wife is sleeping in the apartment, or not in the apartment, better say in a hotel. They are like on their way, and there are separate rooms. And, like, she resides in the same building. So now it's dangerous to do anything forbidden. And surely he is afraid of his wife entering at any time. So there is a famous heter of Bala Ba'ir, which is the general leniency regarding these laws of Yichud. That if a woman can in the city be together with somebody like working and doesn't have to be so strict about not closing the door, leaving the door open, because since her husband is in the city, there is the feeling on both of them that he can enter anytime. Okay, here it's more, so it's not enough to be Bala Ba'ir. It's not enough that the other party is in the same city, or maybe this is actually the same, but from reading the Mishnah seems to be more stringent, like she is in the same building. She is sleeping in the same building. Okay, sleeping maybe is something. Okay, sleep anytime she can be awake. She can wake up at any time. Okay. So that's it. Because his wife is watching over her. He's afraid of her his wife. Very nice. Tosfos says it seems to be contradicting the Avodah Zarah in the Maseches Avodah Zarah. The explanation you find over there seems to be contradicting this version. Mashma de la Rabbanan afilu ishta imayosur. Okay. The simple question to ask here is, why is it so bad? What if the wife is in the same building? What's wrong with it? The wife is in the building. The wife can come over any time. So what did Rabbanan see? Why to forbid such seclusion? She can come over any time. Im shtei noshim. Even more, says Tosfos. There is something interesting to ask about Rabbi Shimon as well. Afilu Rabbi Shimon nami. Even according to Rabbi Shimon. Im shtei noshim v'ishtei moi. Okay, so the reverse case. Okay, this is already allowed. Okay, so Tosfos says really ishtei imay is already it's something strong. If you have your wife and your wife can come over at any time, then you can do seemingly anything. It's just the same as I said before. If you have one man and one woman, they can be secluded together. This is the halacha. Because even Bala Ba'ir, if the other party can come over, because he's found in the city, and in the city there is a good public transport, and anything unexpected can happen, and suddenly he or she is at home, and already they feel on themselves that this is already not so easy to be secluded, because the other party can come home and then they are in big trouble. So, seemingly the halacha would be, according to all this, that this should be a general leniency applying to all cases. And no matter, I don't care about Rabbanon, about Rabbi Shimon, I don't care about special cases, two or one, women or men, this should be like blanket. This should work in all cases. So we can ask a question even against Rabbanan, even against Rabbi Shimon, even though Rabbi Shimon is more lenient. It's not clear why it should be so stringent. He should say, really, both of them should say, there are two cases really here. There's a case when anytime the other party can come over, in which case everything is permitted to be secluded. And there is another case when he or she is not available or not existing, for that matter, which is anyways a question, because I think that all these issues about seclusion were introduced, like preventing arayas. Arayas meaning relations forbidden by the Torah. Even though the Torah doesn't forbid being together, a man and a woman, out of wedlock, each of us know that this is not a nice thing to do, and not part of a religious lifestyle. So this is forbidden as well, but this is this cannot be forbidden from a Torah perspective, from a Torah law, because Torah law really forbids seclusion of areas which are forbidden relationships by the Torah. Classical case being Eishes Ish, who is a married woman, and in the case of a not yet married woman or man, there is no reason to say that there is the woman. Okay, one can ask something similar, but not so strong, that they only speak about a case when the woman comes over. So what if the man comes over? It should be the same. I think it is the same. Okay. Anyway, in the Avoy de Zore, it's not something. This is the general way of Taisfes. It presents something that one would even think with a straight way of thinking. But he doesn't stop here, and he goes further and shows us really a proof right from the Gemara, right from very similar case, which is, anyway, not that hard to find if you just have these list of links over here. Here you have an Aleph, it says Avoy de Zora. It is very often the case that the Taisfes brings the very same source, from the very same part of the Shas, which is being quoted here by Masoret HaShas, which provides all the interrelations, all the hyperlinks in the text. So he's just trying to put together the most simple elements, and it doesn't seem to fit, because over there we see that indeed it is true that really even one and one should be allowed, according to anybody, if there is a chance for the other party to come over. So this is question of Taisfes. The Kashe Me'ahi, the Perekim Amidim. Over there you have a list of different things that you are afraid when the other party is an idolater. An idolater have different levels of ethics, so you cannot trust them in the same way as you trust Jewish people. Even in this regard of seclusion, there is an increased level of concern. Really, a woman should not be secluded with them, meaning with idolaters, because you are suspecting the idolaters that they will behave maybe in an immoral way. The Maya Skinan, okay, so the Gemara asks, what's the case? Ileima Bechad. Okay, so here the stricter, because if you have one idolater and one Jewish woman, okay, it says, the Kavate Beisrael Nishare. Even by a Jewish person, it would not be permissible. So you don't have to say that we hope. We all hope that Jewish people have a higher moral standard, because this was exactly the purpose of introducing Torah, that we should live on a higher standard. So hopefully this cannot be the main message of the Mishnah, because then it contains really no new information. So it cannot be Vatna lo yisyachid, because we have another Mishnah, which is our Mishnah, even Jewish people cannot be secluded. So there are various back and forth arguments about these things over there, and the end result is, he says, Taisfes says, "Umasig beshe ishtoi sheloi vit koichovi mimoi," which seems to be very, very similar to our Mishnah. Really, the case is, there is the wife of the idolater over there, because how do I know? Because it was loitis yachid. This speaks about a Jewish woman and an idolater who is a man, and the wife of the idolater is over there, presumably in the same manner as in our case, the pundaki in the lodge. But there is a big deal of difference here, which we are being taught here. This is the exact language in the Gemara Avoy de Zora. So we want to teach an additional stringency regarding to the case of non-Jews, idolaters, who are not so careful about it, and this really brings us a proof from the Mishte of Ahasuerush, which can be found in Megillas Esther, that really the king wanted to bring the queen in order to show her beauty, meaning is exposed. And there, over there, the Gemara quotes, it's not so easy to understand, it's an Aramaic language, but the main thing it wants to say, according to Rashi, is that really these things are important to both of them. Both the husband and the wife wanted to show the beauty of Vashti, who was the wife of the king back then. And this means that, okay, so there's a general lack of morals over there, which means that you cannot rely on it. Okay, so now in this case it's the problem with the Ahasuerus. So really the genders are switched, but I think that this is a general issue over there. So now in our case it's not that important. In our case we say that the wife of the idolater, who is also an idolater, will not be reliable enough that she will guard her husband good enough, because she's just not so, it's just not that important for them. So, okay, so what? Now he's with me, it's like a free love. Now I do something, tomorrow you do something, maybe we tell each other, maybe we don't, it's not that important. It's not like I am standing with a gun in front of my wife or husband. And even Ahasuerus was not so makpid about showing her wife's beauty to all the other people, which already seems to be questionable that maybe this had some implications which are not exactly the direction that only they are the ones being together. Okay. I don't want to draw such big conclusions, but since we're learning and soon finishing Maseches Kiddushin, we always use the concept of Kiddushin being a Torah concept and being applicable to Jews only. Maybe this can be also a source. So far we used the concept that this whole concept of Kiddushin is introduced only by the Torah, and hence it is applicable only to people who accepted the Torah and not to other people. But maybe this is a quite different aspect, that they doesn't use even all the bounds that this means. They don't apply it to themselves at all. They themselves don't care so much. So, okay, I don't know, maybe we could ask even today somebody who is working with divorce cases, whether is this a case of divorce or not. Certainly this is one of the leading reasons to the divorce, but maybe those people who are involved with such cases could hear such things that I personally, Baruch Hashem, cannot hear, that they permit some, so to say, minor things, which are in their eyes are minor. Okay, anyway, this was the maskana of the Gemara over there, that what is the additional stringency regarding non-Jews, that the leniency applying by Jews, ishto imoy, does not apply in the case of when the other party is an idolater, meaning the shomer, the one who is guarding the idolater. So it's really not a guard. You cannot rely upon this. Okay, so maybe it works, but maybe it's not. Maybe some of them will be so stringent that they will guard their husband or wife. But this is not something that you can just rely on. Maybe the other party says, okay, so why not? Yesterday I did something wrong. No, I let him do something wrong. Oh, that she is also Jewish woman, and she also has a wife who is being violated. Sorry. That's not my problem already. I, I, I want to prefer Shalom Bayis here. It's more important for me to make peace, so I don't mess with him. So that's the basic reasoning over there. Okay, so what's the problem now here? It's a proof for here. It says, well, the Gemara demands Kinoni. Let me bechad kavate beisur meshari ve'atna la'yisiachid u'masig b'she'ishtay shelayvet kaimi mayim. Oy meit kaimi mayim. Ishtay meshamarta yisur ve'ishtay meshamarta. Okay. U'midelamas mukila hasam k'Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so here comes the interesting part. So this is that over there is a much simpler answer to say that the Mishnah is like Rabbi Shimon. Mashma de afilu kerabonon nami asya. Okay, so we can draw. Okay, so we don't see over there in Maseches Avodah Zarah that the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah prohibiting the Jewish woman being together with idolater, it doesn't say that it speaks about Rabbi Shimon's opinion. So who is this if not Rabbi Shimon? Rabbanon, of course. This is the general. This is the general one. There are more. Okay, but this means that Rabbanon accept this leniency of Ishtaimai. Because even according to the Mishnah, which is according to Rabbanon, is only speaking about a case of Ishtai Imai, because in this case there is a quite big difference in a case of a Jew and a non-Jew. That the non-Jew, it's not so important that they will guard the other party from sin. So this means that even the rabbis are applying the case. So now we had two assumptions in the beginning, and one of them is out, which is our true problems were, just to remind, Rabbanon doesn't seem to have here in our Mishnah the leniency of Ishtai Imai. Second, Rabbi Shimon applies this to a rather restricted case of 1 and 2, and not 1 and 1. Okay, so first we've done from Avodah Zarah that, okay, so we see here that Rabbanon can be, let me open here a parenthesis. The Vilna Gaon says on this stuff, because it's one of the few dapim that you have rather long edition of Vilna Gaon, who argues, and who says, open up Taisfes over there, and over there Taisfes says just the opposite. And even though this is not so nice, okay, so both things are compromise, as we got used to it already, because the two cases clearly seem to contradict to each other, so something must be done here. So what is done? Exactly, you cannot do nothing because you have Mishnayas. Either you change the Mishnah here, or you change it over there. And it's very appropriate that Tosfos here suggests to change the Mishnah here. Over there it suggests to change over there. And the Vilna Gaon says, yeah, put together the two Taisfes, which one seems to be more reasonable. Over there it seems to be more reasonable. It seems to be more reasonable to change the Mishnah over there and not to believe this, because over there is a very simple answer, which is already implicitly offered even in our Taisfes here, because it says that you see that the Gemara doesn't establish our Mishnah over there like Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so this is our basic approach. Rabbi Shimon has the leniency of Ishtai Imai. Rabbanon don't. And we do have. And the Vilna Gaon says, actually, this is true. And actually, the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. We, Paskin, like Rabbi Shimon. Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. We apply the leniency. Rabbanim don't apply this leniency. And what you have over there is a Stam Mishnah. It's not written, it's somewhat unusual that it's not written over there that this is Rabbi Shimon. But it is, and it's a Stam Mishnah according to Rabbi Shimon, and the opinion of the Rabbonim are not mentioned over there at all. And here you have, yes, it's a... yes. Okay, so you still have a question about Rabbi Shimon. If really he does apply... Okay, so first question is answered by the Vilna Gaon. even though really his answer is choosing between two compromises, which is not comfortable, but something which must be done. And the other thing is that you have a problem with Rabbi Shimon over here. We paskin like Rabbi Shimon, don't we? So this means that we do apply leniency of Ishtarimai. So why seemingly Rabbi Shimon applies this leniency only to a case of one and two? Maybe an easy and simple answer would be that because this is being spoken about here. Anyway, Rabbi Shimon applies the leniency even to one and one cases, like more stringent cases. So this could be nice understanding of bottom line halacha. Based on Vilna Gaon and what we all familiar with, religious people, this is an important part of religious lifestyle, not being secluded with strangers. Yes. So, okay, so it's good to know, because if I'm a Jew and the non-Jewish woman comes over, I don't know, to do something here. My wife is in the city. My wife will guard against me. Okay, but before I was married, I was alone. This wasn't good. This was good only for if a Jewish woman, like working woman, or better to say, about a woman, and a man comes over. So the leniency of Ishtarim only applies in a Jewish marriage. So this is the main chiddush that we have to remember regarding to the halacha. Okay, so let's see Taisfes further. Umidalamu ke lahasam ke Rabbi Shimon. So here Taisfes says over there we don't see that it establishes like Rabbi Shimon, but Taisfes does it, which is not quite in of domain of Tosfos to establish Mishnahs, because basically it's the job of the Gemara, but Tosfos cannot do a thing but establishing the Mishnah as Rabbi Shimon. And Vilna Gaon says Shkoyech, yes, this is the way to do. Mashma de afilu kerabana nami asya. So it seems to be that even rabbis are subscribing to the notion of Ishtarimoy. Ube'isha achas nami mashma de shari. Okay, so where do we see what we all apply to today, the famous halacha of one and one, that you can apply the leniency of ishta imoy? Keshe ishta imoy lekach nira. Okay, so I don't see the proof here. It's not written. Ube'isha achas nami mashma de shari. So it seems to be a lot. Maybe it's from the text of the Gemara, because the Gemara doesn't start to get involved with it. Okay, so this is the source for us now to do this. Because the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, okay, here the Mishnah already is already speaking about the one and two cases. Over there, it's one and one. It starts to deal with it, but later on it says, no, it's not the case, don't bring this to me. Really, the case is one and one, and you have the idolater over there, the Jewish party is not married or married, but the other the wife or husband is not over there, the Jewish one, the idolater is there, but it cannot help because you cannot rely on him or her. So this is what it says. So from this you see that think what you want. Either Rabbi Shimon, Taisfes here says it's Rabbanon, Vilna Gaon says it's Rabbi Shimon over there, but over there the opinion, be as it is. The opinion over there in Avodah Zarah says that really it's one and one, and you have the leniency of Ishtarimai. So here you have the proof for both things, both one and one, and both Rabbanon, Rabbi Shimon, but this is already blown out by the Vilna Gaon. Okay. Lekach nira l'ri. So Ri says another explanation, and here we have two corrections. I think the simplest one, what seemed to be the simplest, is Bach. Dile Rabbanan, Nami Aina Yasser. Okay, so it says even the Rabbanim are not. Even they subscribe to this principle of Ishtayimai. Eloke She'ein Ishtayimai. Okay, Dafke. V'achi Gar Sinan. So this means that we have to do something which we don't like. If we accept this, we have to change the text of our Girsa, the text of our Mishnah. We have to say really this way. Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Af Ish Echad Misyached Im Shtei Noshim. Even one man can be secluded with two women. Now I don't understand why really two. Okay, I understand. Because you have to make it consistent. But regarding the halacha, it's one and one, even it's good. ובזמן שאיש תאימה ישן עמהם בפונדקי. רבי שמעון אומר, אף איש אחד משיח עם שתי נשים, ובזמן שאיש תאימה ישן עמהם בפונדקי, מפני שאיש תאימה שמרתי, ואסון, אפילו לרבונון, ואפילו עם אישו אחס. What is this? אסון, maybe we have to put it to the text. Somehow. Okay. From now on, it's just an issue of text editing. Just, you have the halacha. Okay. If you say everybody holds like this, then you still have a problem about making the argument between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbonon, according to this tesis here. Vilna Gaon does it right. Vilna Gaon says, very simple. Rabbi Shimon has the leniency of Ishtayimai, Rabbanon doesn't have. Rabbi Shimon has it across the board, even one and one, even one and two. Rabbanon doesn't have it all. So this is very simple understanding. Taisves here doesn't say so. Taisves here says, you have to establish a machlokes, but over there... Okay, so now it's falling out everything from reason. Because over there it wants to say that it's really Rabbonim, Rabbonim speaking over there. And what cases do they speak about? They speak about the case of one and one. This means that they do have the leniency of Ishtayimai and they do apply it to a case of one and one, which already implies that if you want to establish a machlekes between the two and to rewrite our Mishnah based on this, according to this version, you will need to say something really, really strange, which is Rabbi Shimon is the more stringent one. The Rabbonim say over there, even one and one, I apply the leniency of Ishtayimai. Rabbi Shimon says over here, no, I apply it only to the case of one and two. Why? Okay, so now you have to do your reasoning. This is already homework to do this. What? Taisves says, Rabbi Shimon says, Ishtayimai works only in a case of one and two and doesn't work in a case of one and one. And yes, that's it. So why should he be more stringent, not applying the case to one and one? Okay, because why? You have to make something up for you, so if you want to understand it. The Taisves problem here is to do the text itself. To put it in a nice way, not to move and modify too much words. This is already a technical, linguistical problem, not a halachical one, not a halachic one. And yes, if you have one and two, meaning one man and two women, this is already something of more like the two women are prone to together to do something illegality together and not to act against against the other. So in such a case, Ishtayimai doesn't seem to help because I don't know why. I don't see the swara here, but at least we got to the end of the Taisves. This can be. This can be questioned further on, but only not like the Vilna Gaon said, which is certainly not the halacha. The halacha follows the will of God for sure.